Hey, gang. Welcome to the show. Welcome to National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, republicbroadcasting.org. Go there, click on the donate button, send shekels. You know the routine. Also, go to nationalbugle.com. Check out all of the great articles that myself and mostly Mark Dankoff have lined up for you. Good, important articles. There's also a link to the kosherquestion.com, the koshertified app. Go download it. $2.99. You can't go wrong. Can you, Mark Dankoff? Mark?
You absolutely can't go wrong, and it seems to me that when we look at our big board today, we have all kinds of things that I might mention just briefly passing, and then get into the main topic, which you suggested for today, which I think will probably take up the whole hour.
It may well. So before we jump into the main topic, what are some things we have up there on the big board for our audience?
Well, there are plenty of things that we could mention, including the big board items that pertain to today's topic. We'll get into those when we actually start discussing that particular topic. But on war and foreign policy, we have a post today from Stephen Zunes at antiwar.com. More IPAC than J Street. Kamala Harris, keep an eye out on that one. Has Donald Trump been forced to give up? Thierry Myerson is on Lou Rockwell today, that one. Faking the online debate on Iran, the listening post. This is on YouTube. We posted it. It deals with the MEK, this shadowy terrorist organization that the U.S. and Israel are using against the current regime in Iran. The MEK has a special troll factory just outside of Tirana, Albania, and that video will tell you something about what this is doing in terms of distorting international debate and American debate on Iran. Bolton and Pompeo used the MEK to prep the table for the Warsaw Summit against EU interests. And Cotabanda Singleton from Iran Interlink is featured there today. And then, of course, we get into some other items, including Jonathan Freer's post on Mondo Weiss, yet another Israeli terrorist vies to be prime minister. Loblog has a very ominous and comprehensive piece on why war with Iran is becoming ever more likely. And then last but not least is today's topic, where we are going to get into some very specific things going on both in Virginia and New York as it relates to late-term abortion legislation and what it really means. And along those lines, I'll just mention one of the pieces in passing that will help enlighten our conversation, I trust. From a few years ago, we've posted under Immigration and Demographics, large number of Jews favor abortion for non-Jews. That's Kevin McDonald from the Occidental Observer. And that takes us right up to the point where we might begin discussing what I think is going to be pretty much our main focus for today.
Yeah, it's a main focus. There are a lot of related issues that we'll need to delve into as well. Now, you know, the whole abortion issue, people have heard me talk about abortion from time to time. And I have my own particular view, and it's not based on morality. And, of course, we do need morality, that's for sure. But it's based on kind of an evolutionary pragmatism. Personally, and people are very free to disagree, but personally, I don't think we have enough resources to support every human that is conceived. And there's a practical matter. To me, if you were to legally force irresponsible people to have babies, it increases their birth rate, and then the responsible people wind up having resources diverted away from them, and their birth rate is repressed. That's one way of looking at it. I wouldn't call myself pro-choice, because the whole choice paradigm has all sorts of implications that I wouldn't go along with. So I'm not in favor of outlawing abortion, but wow, talk about extreme. There was a bill that was signed into law within the past couple of days in New York State by Andrew Cuomo that basically allows for not just abortion at any time during the pregnancy, but really infanticide at, you know, at the moment of birth. And a very similar bill in Virginia that I think within the past 24 hours was defeated, but would have done the same thing. So that's my brief introduction. Now, Mark, you I'm sure you have your own position, and you feel free to clarify your position and your reasoning, and then we can go on and talk about the implications of this recent legislative push for, you know, abortion at any stage of the pregnancy and even after the pregnancy.
Yes, of course, I am historically identified and would be currently identified as a part of the pro-life movement, the mainstream part of the pro-life movement. I am an Orthodox Christian, so an Orthodox evangelical Christian predictably is going to be on the so-called pro-life side of the ledger. I don't want to go too far down that lane today, obviously, or we will never get to the salient issues in focusing on these bills in Virginia, New York, which are just absolutely beyond virtually any thinking person's pale. But it is a matter of my biography that, of course, I worked with the late Dr. Harold O.J. Brown of Harvard University, who was my advisor in seminary in Chicago years ago, probably the most widely known Protestant figure in the pro-life movement. And we were involved both in the political end of that in regard to activism in the Republican Party for the pro-life side of the aisle, going back many, many years ago. And then, of course, during my time as a pastor in Kerrville, Texas, back in the 90s, I was on the board of directors of a crisis center that was identified with an organization called CareLink, which was the successor organization to what Harold O.J. Brown and C. Everett Koop had founded, which was the so-called Christian Action Council. Mm. But having said all of that, today, of course, I think it's best to focus explicitly on these late-term abortion issues, where perhaps there can be a greater consensus and a greater focusing today for the listeners on what is in these two particular bills. The one in New York did pass, by the way, and why it is that in terms of abortion politics, certain people always seem to be lining up on one side of the aisle or another on this particular topic. And then last but not least is the Kevin McDonald article that the Occidental Observer tells us today, which we posted at nationalbugle.com. You have 89% of the Jews of the United States approximately supporting abortion at virtually any stage of the game, so to speak. And yet, of course, this...
And I would assume that 89% represents basically 100% of the non-Orthodox Jews.
Yes, I would assume that is the reason why that 100% goes down to 89%. I think that's probably the case. The other thing, of course, that comes into play is McDonald goes on to point out that Chucky Boy Schumer and some of these other pro-abortion radicals who are virtual agents of the Israeli lobby in regard to what they support both domestically and internationally in their ideas about public policy, that Schumer nonetheless and other Jews have supported a far stricter abortion regimen in Israel because of demographic issues related to propping up a Jewish population in Palestine, because they are well aware of the way in which Jews are being outpaced in demographic reproduction by the so-called Palestinian Arab population. So this gets into all kinds of implications and hypocrisies. And at this particular juncture, of course, this business with Kathy Tran, the state legislator in Virginia, I know you want to focus on. Then we can also talk about what unbelievably just passed in the state of New York on this whole subject of abortion. And we posted something today on that particular topic, not simply from LifeSite News, but also Mike Adams from Natural News has a post that's also on Lou Rockwell that describes how the Democratic Party in the state of New York, with this bill that has passed, if Mike is understanding this correctly, this actually legalizes a abortion where the child is totally outside with the mother if it is still living subsequent to the beginning of the abortion process at an earlier stage of this heinous game. So we're dealing with a brave new world here, of course, and it isn't lost in terms of irony that William Davis from the Daily Caller notes today that on the same day that Kathy Tran of Virginia submitted this bill on late-term abortion, she submitted a bill to save caterpillars. Yes, folks. Oh,
Kathy Tran submitted a bill on caterpillars?
That's right, to save caterpillars in Virginia and to regulate which months one could actually use insecticide against caterpillars in Virginia on the same day that she, of course, submitted this late-term abortion bill. People can read this unbelievable development from William Davis at the Daily Caller, and that's up on the big board today.
Okay, well, so, yeah, I want to go into, I think the politics of it is all very interesting. And Kathy Tran, so she's about 40 years old. She's from Virginia. She was born in Vietnam, 1978. She has an interesting background. Should I go into it now? Maybe I will. So she was, I guess, in the very, you know, as a baby, 1 or 2 years old, maybe, she was one of these Vietnamese boat people that launched themselves out into the South China Sea and got scooped up and taken to wherever. And according to her official bio, she's been on a state legislature for, I believe, 2 years or a year and a half or something. She might be a freshman. The Virginia cycle is 1 year askewed from the federal cycle. So maybe she's been a legislator for 1 year, or maybe this is her third year. I'm not sure. But at any rate, according to her official bio, her family was offered asylum in a number of countries. They said many countries. But they were so determined to come to the United States that they stayed in various refugee shelters for, 13 months, for over a year, because they wanted to come to the United States. They were, I know they had to have been in Malaysia, because the bio refers to her mother being a translator for refugees in Malaysia. Now, Malaysia was a safe place. And of course, the international rules on asylum is that claim asylum in the first safe country you visit. It was a safe country. But somehow, you know, that's on her bio, on her campaign site. It's something to be celebrated. You know, that's how much she wanted to come here. Well, now she comes here, and she gets into Duke University and graduate school in social work at University of Michigan. These are elite schools. And to what extent she, you know, that was based on affirmative action or whatever is unclear. I don't know enough about her, but I do know that during these periods of time, you know, around the year 2000, there was massive anti-white discrimination at these schools.
And these social work departments, and I say this because I was in a social work department of a Lutheran university many, many years ago. These social work departments, which were hotbeds of well left of center political orientations on the part of the vast percentage of their professors 40 to 45 years ago, are hotbeds, frankly, of an overwhelmingly Marxist orientation on the part of the faculties of many of these institutions in these social work departments. It's a dreadful place.
Mm-hmm. And once she got out, she wound up landing a job with the federal government as some sort of immigration administrator. You're talking about having the fox rule the chicken coop. And when she wasn't working for the federal government in that capacity, she was working for a nonprofit immigration reform, immigration reform nonprofit. So, I mean, she's been a pro-immigration lobbyist, and now she is in Congress or in the Virginia State Assembly. And by the way, she is married and has four kids of her own. I believe her husband's name, last name is something like Reisman, and I couldn't say for sure that he was Jewish, but I have a strong feeling is there was a picture of her at what I believe was her inaugural, standing, holding a baby and standing next to a man with curly red hair, which wasn't stated that that was her husband, but if it was, it probably was a Jewish husband. So I'm not sure about that, but what you have is somebody who, I mean, she was a baby, but basically came here without, you know, came here based on asylum without really being eligible for asylum. And once she gets here, becomes an ethnic activist, pro-immigration, trying to, you know, revise the demographics of our society, and then becomes a shock troop for what I think we're going to be able to demonstrate is basically, you know, the Jewish elite's program of, you know, changing our morality, changing our culture. And there she is. Last thing I'll have to say is, you know, look on our site. It's amazing to watch the video of her when she's answering questions in the state assembly about her bill. And she's asked point blank, will this allow for women at the end of their pregnancies who are already dilating, about to give birth, to abort the baby? And when the question about already dilating comes up, her face cringes, her eyes shut, her mouth shuts, and everything gets tense for a second. And she tries to deflect the question. When she's asked one more time, she has to say, yes, it would. I turn it back over to you, Mark.
Well, yes, I mean, this gets into all kinds of derivative implications. Let me simply say, of course, and I'm betraying my own obvious political and theological bias on this whole subject, but ever since the Roe versus Wade decision in January of 1963, we've seen a number of trends in American society. One is to ongoingly use the federal judiciary to bring about policies that were never passed by state legislators and the National Congress of the United States on all kinds of topics. The Roe versus Wade decision in 1973 really accelerated this process of left-wing judicial activism. So that's one tactic we could take on this. Certainly when you start dealing with the whole issue of human life, it seems to me that any society that embraces this type of culture of death, which is what these types of abortion policies basically embody, is the same society, of course, that over time will embrace the gay and lesbian orientation as
an additional. You think that's coming? You think that's coming?
Yes. I mean, obviously, that has already happened. And then when you look at the way in which this cheapening of respect for human life domestically in the United States, that is, in my judgment, symbolized by these kinds of culturally Marxist policies, is accompanied by ever-increasing crime rates, ever-increasing illegitimacy rates, a general demise, I think most people would acknowledge, of the cultural and moral standards 50 years ago would have characterized a much wider segment of the American population. This is also accompanied, I would argue, by a out of necessity, a cheapening of human life abroad in regard to what it is that the United States is supporting with these empire policies that are very much also supported overwhelmingly by American Jews.
Going off to our break, we'll be right back.
When your doctor tells you you have bad cholesterol or blockages in the arteries, what do you do? When diet and exercise is not enough, we try medications and hope for the best. For the last two decades, I have been telling people about a natural method to help solve these problems and more. Extendivite can help maintain cardiovascular health and lower blood lipid levels in adults. The seven herbs in Extendivite are known to work together synergistically to get the results we hope for. There are many testimonials on Extendivite's effect on circulatory-related ailments. Get Extendivite today to start your journey back to a healthier life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or see us on amazon.com.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
And we're talking about the big, the big abortion law news. A couple of things I want to raise and before I kick it back over to you. First of all, I think anytime there's abortion, it represents failure on multiple levels, you know, a failure of personal responsibility and personal morality. It's a failure of social morality for sure. I mean, society has been pushing for these, acceptance of all sorts of things, free sex and whatever, recreational sex, I guess would be the right term to call it. It's a failure on multiple levels. On Tucker's show last night, and I don't know if you caught it, but there was a woman that he brought it on to make the case for, abortion on demand at birth. And wouldn't you know it, it was one Monica Klein, K-L-E-I-N. I'm pretty sure she was a member of the tribe. She's somebody who has worked for Mayor de Blasio in New York. So a New Yorker named Klein with those particular facial and personality traits, pretty good indication. At any rate, she wouldn't address the issue at hand of the late term abortions, and simply was spewing out talking points at Tucker, such as that, well, your Republican Party is trying to force women what to do, you know, tell women what to do. And at one point she said that you know, it's a woman's right to choose and no man should have any role in the decision whatsoever, or something absolute, but that was the point. No man should have any role in it whatsoever. It's pretty extreme. Here's the question, although you can take it in any direction you want. Most people who are going to have abortions, virtually all of them, are going to have abortions earlier than ninth month. They're earlier than in the delivery room. So it's almost as if, I mean, really, what's the point of this? Why are they pushing it this far? That's my question for you, but take it wherever you want to take it.
Well, look, this gets into all kinds of questions as to arguments on the viability of the fetus and when the so-called fetus actually becomes human. Of course, I argue that human from the moment of conception, and that gets back into an Orthodox Christian understanding of this. But to me, the thing that is most appalling in this whole question of these late-term abortions is that it is striking to me, and this gets back to Kathy Tran in Virginia and some of the objections that the pro-death movement here in Texas has about any regulations on the abortion industry whatsoever as it relates to something like ultrasound technology. On one hand, the feminist movement is insisting that women are in isolation, the only ones who can make a choice in regard to this child and whether or not this child lives, which essentially is arguing that women are to be, I suppose, involved in a process of self-deification here in rebellion against the repressive white patriarchal orders that is represented in European Christianity historically, but that's another topic for another day. But ultrasound technology, trans bill in Virginia, which thankfully was defeated this time around in the state of Virginia, basically would have removed any requirement that there be ultrasound technology provided to any woman trying to make a so-called informed choice as to whether or not she would elect have an abortion. Why? I think it's very clear why this is when we look at this whole issue of ultrasound technology and what it reveals. Because as Dr. Bernard Nathanson, at one time the founder, the Jewish founder of the National Abortion Rights Action League, demonstrates, when he converted to Roman Catholic Christianity, repudiated his personal involvement in thousands of abortions, repudiated the founding of NARAL, and was involved in several videos demonstrating to the public what's involved in this procedure and how heinous it is at any stage of the pregnancy. These are the kinds of visual graphics that the far left in this country and the anti-Christian left in this country do not want anyone to see. Why? Because as long as we can keep the abortion at some theoretical level that involves these nebulous terms like fetus and viability and so forth.
We'll have to go off the break.
Sure.
So we'll have to finish that thought on the other side.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited. So take a breath, head to aroutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at aroutfitting.com.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. By Christine, great for heart palpitations. By Anne, before I started using this product, every afternoon, my ankles and my hands would be swollen. That doesn't happen anymore. So if that part of their advertising is true, I have to assume that the rest of it is also. Not to mention that when I had my yearly blood test, only a few weeks after beginning to use this product, my cholesterol had dropped over 30 points. I'm going to continue to take it. By Croc, I love this product. It really works. By Brad, works great, thank you. Tell us your story. Get your Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
National Bugle Radio with Patrick Flattery, Mark Dankoff, and we're talking about the recent abortion news. And Mark, you were coming to a point.
Yes, basically talking about this whole business of the visual. By the way, I put up one film on the big board here at nationalbugle.com, Dr. E. Michael Jones of Culture Wars. Versus Jim Fetzer on this whole question of abortion and Planned Parenthood. I'm going to put up a couple of Dr. Bernard Nathanson's, the late Dr. Bernard Nathanson's videos inside the abortion cartel, and also the full length Silent Scream movie. We put these up advisedly. Please use discretion and who sees these in regard to how young a person is. These are not meant at one level to shock, and yet at another level they are, because when we see these things visually, we understand even people that don't take my position or that of Dr. Harold O.J. Brown or Dr. E. Michael Jones on the abortion issue necessarily, that these bills in Virginia with Kathy Tran on this whole business of absolute late-term abortions, even to the point where when the woman is dilating, an abortion can take place, or this heinous business that just passed in New York, which if Mike Murphy of Natural News is reading it correctly, actually provides for the killing of a child completely outside the womb of the mother. This sort of thing, I think most reasonable people would believe, is beyond the pale if they were allowed to see the visual evidence. Because when you look at things from the vantage point of the visual proof and the explanations of Bernard Nathanson as to what is involved with it, this, the methodologies that are used, the horrors of it in terms of what happens to these children, and last but not least, something else that the pro-abortion and Jewish lobby militants in favor of abortion in this country don't like getting into, and that is the well-known feature of post-abortion stress syndrome on the part of many of the women who have been through this tragic procedure, and who themselves who themselves are victims of this overwhelming tragedy. That's another aspect of this that is lost in this debate on many sides of this debate, and that is that many of these women who are in admittedly horrible and desperate circumstances and who result to this thinking that it's the only way out for their particular situation, we need to have compassion for many of these women and need to reach out to them, and they're needs to be a greater attempt on the part of us who are pro-life to give them the resources that, for example, we did in Kerrville, Texas years ago, where this pro-life group operated the only free maternity home in the state for people, ladies who couldn't pay anything, and where they were being ministered to by female Christians who were trained counselors in this area, several of whom had been through this tragedy themselves as younger women and who could understand the personal existential crisis of this perhaps in a way that a man like myself cannot. But having said all of that, it seems to me that this Tran bill in Virginia and certainly this horrific bill that that passed in New York, apparently, that Cuomo and others in the Democratic Party were just cheering about after it passed, is purely and simply infanticide for anyone who rationally looks at the evidence, where there can be no debate, I think, on the part of any reasonable person. If the visual evidence is provided that this is, in the words of the late Daniel Patrick Moynihan, a line that we ought not to cross. I mean, in other words, Moynihan, when he was alive and was in the U.S. Senate, was dealing with this whole post-Roe versus Wade abortion environment in the U.S. Senate. And while Moynihan, a Roman Catholic, was not because of his Democrat.
You're breaking up just a little bit. So Moynihan.
Yeah, Moynihan.
Yeah, actually having a little bit of trouble there.
Let's see here. Let's pump this up. How are we doing now?
Now it's better.
Good. I just pumped up the volume here in my studio. That Pat Moynihan was saying years ago when this partial birth abortion thing first came up before the U.S. Senate, he said, gentlemen, this is a line which we ought not to cross. Now, those of us who are pro-life in the Christian sense of that understanding and the sense of the understanding that Bernard Nathanson reached years later after founding the National Abortion Rights Action League, we would say that that line was already crossed in the Roe versus Wade decision itself. But aside from that particular position, Moynihan certainly recognized as one who wouldn't necessarily agree with me on this, that this partial birth abortion was purely infanticide, that it is designed, in his own words, ought not to be crossed. He was speaking to his four colleagues on this, both Republican and Democrat. And here we are a generation or two later, and this line is being continually blurred and obscured and crossed. All of this hysterical language coming from the militant feminist and Marxist communities and leftist Jewish communities about this woman's absolute right to an abortion, whatever that's supposed to mean at any stage of the pregnancy, that is something that if ultrasound technology is applied to this, and if a broader cross-section of Americans, and I think maybe this is where you're coming from, Dr. Slattery, you're not necessarily with me on this abortion question. You're certainly not where Tran is and where the radical left of the Democratic Party is either on this. And it seems to me on this ultrasound issue alone, which is why the left has been fighting this in Texas, using the courts to get that struck down as part of a procedure of facilitating a woman's informed consent. That's also something that's been eliminated in the Tran bill that thankfully didn't make it through Virginia this time, because intrinsically these leftists and radicals and leftist Jews and Marxists understand that when people see those ultrasounds, if people were exposed to the kind of educational process that Bernard Nathanson was taking them through years later, that many people who are not necessarily where Harold O.J. Brown and E. Michael Jones and I happen to be on the abortion question, nonetheless, we'll look at that and say, you know, Moynihan's right. That's a line that none of us need to cross.
Yeah, and of course, it's the line now really is at infanticide, because you're talking about a woman in a delivery room dilating and a baby being born. And you know, the laws have provisions about, well, what if the I guess the procedure is to inject them with some sort of poison in the womb and have a stillbirth. Well, what if you inject them with the poison, but they don't die and they're born alive? And they're talking about that. What do you do then? And there would be it would be allowable to just let the baby, the live baby, die. There's all sorts of things, and so we really we're going beyond abortion now into infanticide. Now, infanticide has been very, very widespread throughout human history. And I say that not to normalize it, because slavery was very, very widespread throughout human history. And we would hope that at least in our own society, we have gone, evolved, if you want to use that word, progressed to a point where slavery would be unthinkable and infanticide would be unthinkable. And so there really is a risk of crossing that line, because it's still practiced around the world. I don't think we should invade a country in Africa or Asia where it's, infanticide's commonplace in order to stop it, but we shouldn't reintroduce it into our own society. Dev, comments about that before I move to the next point?
Well, I think that's absolutely correct, and it seems to me that those who are fighting an informed consent policy on the part of women considering abortion that would include exposure to the other side of the argument, that would include exposure to the ultrasound technology, are the same people who, in many cases, don't seem to have a real problem with these drone strikes in the Middle East, and with what Israel is doing in Gaza and so forth and so on, because the killing seems sanitized, doesn't it? We're not seeing visually. First of all, we're not the ones that the bombs are being dropped on yet. But on the other end, and yet at the same time, for most Americans, except for people like you and me that research this stuff and the international press and see all these horrible pictures, most Americans are unaware of, for example, what it is their own government is supporting in Yemen and how hideous it is. This is a war of genocide in Yemen, as you and I would argue it is in Gaza as well. And yet for the average American, the visual evidence of the daily horrors being perpetrated by allies of the United States with our full support doesn't impact them. There's no, what shall we say, instead of ultrasound technology when it comes to an unborn child, there's no visual evidence being provided by controlled news media, largely Jewish news media folks in the United States, as to what it is that the Saudis are doing in Yemen, what it is that the United States has been supporting in Syria with Israel and Saudi and these Sunni Wahhabic terrorists, the extrajudicial assassination of Muammar Gaddafi, all these other things that our government is a full partner in, that where it doesn't seem to sink into the average American that the government that is permitting and promoting unrestrained abortion through the ninth month of pregnancy is the same government that is supporting these hideous activities militarily abroad that certainly do not fit St. Augustine's definition of just war theory.
I want to get back just briefly to this Monica Klein's statement that mentioned I have no role whatsoever in this decision. And I know of a woman who her grandmother had died in childbirth, which used to be very common. And she had had two very, very difficult and dangerous C-sections. Her grandmother had been told after having the first baby not to have a second baby. And she had the second baby and died. This woman, she had been told after her second C-section, she must never have another pregnancy. Her husband wanted the baby. She didn't. She lived in a state where there was some sort of waiting, 3-day wait, cooling off period, whatever. And at the end of the day, I think that it was that the woman's should have had the last say in that. I don't question that kind of situation. On the other hand, it's very easy to conceive of a woman, just like men can be this way too, but men don't get pregnant. A pregnant woman who maybe has a tendency to be impulsive, maybe is psychologically somewhat unstable, maybe gets in an argument with her husband or something and just kind of makes the impulsive decision she's going to go and she's going to abort that baby because she's mad. This isn't, and especially when you think of all the hormones involved in pregnancy, this isn't such a wild, unimaginable thing. And to say that the man should have absolutely no role in the decision, that you can't have a cooling off period, that, you know, just on a whim, somebody should have an abortion. It seems pretty extreme, but they are pushing the extreme. And I guess I get back to the question, are they pushing this so far that there's going to be a backlash?
Well, you know, I wonder. I would like to think so, but I wonder how many Americans are reading what Lou Rockwell published today from Natural News. How many Americans are reading LifeSite News and what Doug Manwaring posted today of this video of trans incompetent defense under questioning of what it is that she was proposing in this bill in Virginia? How many Americans really want to take a look at Bernard Nathanson's silent scream? How many Americans want to deal with the demographics of this? Mm. Pat Buchanan, this is another area where a more secularized view of abortion demographically comes in that's appropriate for our listeners. Pat Buchanan, of course, is a pro-life Roman Catholic. I'm a pro-life Christian coming out of a Lutheran background. But Pat has in one of his books, I believe it's Suicide of a Superpower, he has an entire chapter dedicated to the title Demographic Winter. Mm-hmm. Demographic Winter. And this book is written a few years ago, of course, but it deals with all of the demographics that in conjunction with these wholesale migration policies to the United States being supported by the far left in this country, the Marxist left in this country, the mm-hmm. Jewish left in this country, are designed, frankly, one could conclude, and one of the people who's concluded this, it is designed to destroy the historic white European, largely historically Christian population of the United States over time. And in conjunction with the migration policies, in conjunction with the queer marriage movement and all these other things, it is producing a demise in European-American birth rates that is absolutely shocking and that is going to lead to the kind of revolutionary change in the United States politically, which it is, because of the revolutionary demographics that are involved in all of this.
Now, that being said, I think it deserves note that, the United States currently is, 63% or so white, although whites are older, so there's relatively fewer white women in childbearing age. There are, if you look at pregnancies, non-white women are much more likely to get pregnant. There's lots of non-white women, but they're also much more likely to get pregnant. They have more live births. They have more abortions. Across the board, they just get pregnant more than white women do for a variety of reasons. And had there been no abortion over the past 40 years, you would almost certainly have a non-white majority in this country. I think that deserves being said. But there's one more thing I want to get into in our remaining time. I saw a picture of this Kathy Tran, and she was with a Julian Castro, who's somebody I believe you're familiar with. He's from San Antonio. I think his brother represents your district. And he was President Obama's Secretary of Housing and Urban Development. And he's also running for president.
Yes. He's a former mayor of San Antonio.
Okay. He's a former mayor of San Antonio. And I don't know if you got a chance to look at it. I sent you a quote from him where he was talking affirmative action. And I'm glad he said this, because there's so much affirmative action out there, and I'm sure that Michelle Obama wouldn't be tweeting out the same thing. But he admitted that his SAT scores were quite low, 12-10, which, is, I guess, average, but he got into Stanford with it. There was no white who's going to get into – non-Jewish white who would get into Stanford with 12-10 SAT scores. But he said, he supports affirmative action because, look what it did for him. Yes,
and this gets back older folks, little older folks, not real old folks.
I'm afraid we're getting up to the break, but I'm going to give you the whole rest of the story to digest that one.
Sure.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from...
Welcome back to the show, National Bugle Radio, with Patrick Slattery and Mark Dankoff. And Mark, I had just asked you about Julian Castro.
Well, I read the statement that you sent me that Mr. Castro made quite some time ago, apparently. But I think it's indicative of what has happened with these so-called affirmative action policies in the United States. As you have major political figures like this admitting that they profited by what essentially was an official policy of discrimination against white Europeans attempting to get into the schools who had superior test scores. Now, this reminds me of the same sort of thing that you were talking about, an immigration policy one time, going back to the 1965 Immigration Reform Act. We were told then, if we go back and look at the floor debate, that this was not going to mean a wholesale move away from the Europeans being Northern and Western Europeans still being allowed to immigrate to the United States. We were told this wasn't going to change the United States demographically and politically, when in fact it has and it shall. Now, this gets into then the whole question of affirmative action. how many of us were hearing when these affirmative action bills were first floating around on Capitol Hill that none of this would result in any discrimination against white European ethnics who had the right grades and the right test scores to get into these schools. Clearly the nonsense. Clearly there's been a wholesale policy of discrimination that has been facilitated by these affirmative action laws. And this gets all the way back to the Alan Bakke case when he was trying to get into medical school, I believe at Stanford. I met Bakke some years ago when he visited my Lutheran church in Seattle. Real nice gentleman. He is a very fine Christian man. And we talked a little bit, of course, about what he went through in that legal case, basically, which reliably demonstrated that academically he was the superior of many of the people who were admitted into the school when he wasn't. And I believe it was Stanford University's medical school, if I recall the case correctly. But again, people can go back to the Allen, A-L-L-A-N, Bakke, B-A-K-K-E, the Allen Bakke case, to see that that case, virtually like no other, underscored the truism that this affirmative action movement is a reverse racial discrimination that has been deliberately employed against whites, largely by the people who have a disproportionate influence to bear on American policies in all kinds of areas. And I'm referring, of course, to the disproportionate role that even Joe Biden would admit that Jewish organizations have played in the United States and Jewish individuals played in the United States in bringing these things to pass, whether you're talking about affirmative action, whether you're talking about mass illegal immigration and migration to the United States, or you're talking about abortion on demand or queer marriage.
Yeah, so many of these immigrants and minorities are being utilized by the Jewish elites as their shock troops for their agenda.
No question.
Yeah. And, so they're shock troops. And why should we celebrate immigrants coming into this country only to be indoctrinated into anti-white hostility and used in order to exclude us from the elite and push an agenda that is completely contrary to our traditions? Thank you, Mark, for coming on again. Look forward to having you on again next week.
Hey, I look forward to that. And people can check out Mike Jones against Jim Fetzer on abortion and Planned Parenthood on our site. Also, Bernard Nathanson's video, The Silent Scream, and his video, Inside the Abortion Cartel.
And I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.